The sermon text, as announced, is the gospel read from the lectern a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 to 25. And didn't that gospel selection sound like material for a bestseller novel? Instead, you'll have to settle this morning for the more prosaic treatment of a sermon. But maybe we can liven things up a bit by tackling the familiar law gospel objectives in a new way, the way of irony. There are both law and gospel ironies in this text. One of the law ironies is old hat to this audience. Most of us, if not honest enough, are at least theologically sophisticated enough to realize that this text is not just the story of Judas and his betrayal of Christ, but that it's also the story of us and our betrayal of Christ. We recognize the question of Judas and the question of the disciples, "Is it I, Lord?" as our question too. And worse yet, we know that it deserves a yes answer. It is I. Modern English usage allows us to alter our answer to the more comfortable, "It is me." But either way, it amounts to the same unfortunate conclusion. Our sins, too, sent Jesus to the cross. We were there when they crucified our Lord. And we were there when they betrayed our Lord. It bothers us that we confess this truth too flippantly, too routinely, sometimes even too hypocritically. And so we try real hard on occasion to be real pious about it this time around and really mean it. And as usual, we end up disappointed at the outcome. But our identification with Judas is true, whether we feel it or not, whether we mean it or not. We're poor, miserable sinners from God's perspective. Even if our best efforts can't get us to see it that way from our perspective. A man on an airplane, unaware that it's doomed to crash, let us say, within the next 30 minutes, is a poor, miserable person. Even though at the moment he may be enjoying the pleasure of sipping a cocktail or flirting with a stewardess. So just between us and our favorite textbook on doctrine, we know too well that the ominous words of Jesus in our text, addressed to Judas, could appropriately be addressed to us too. Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Wouldn't you know, it is I, Lord. And we've got the sins of the last 24 hours to prove it. With that devastating truth as a background, there is further law irony in our text, in the observation about the disciples that, quote, they made ready the Passover. Technically, all that refers to is their preparations for their observance of an annual Jewish festival and the custom of killing a lamb for that occasion. But in the light of the typology of the Passover festival, the routine reminder about making ready the Passover explodes with meaning. Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, was the very person to whom the annual festival of the Passover kept pointing. He was the ultimate Passover sacrifice. And even though the disciples were probably not aware of it as they went about the preparations described in our text, they were making ready that Passover too. Mark's parallel account intensifies the irony by using the expression, quote, they killed the Passover. Indeed, indeed, not only their well-intended preparations, but also their wretched sins killed the Passover, when on the next day, Good Friday, Christ, the Lamb of God, was executed for those sins in behalf of our salvation. And that's where suddenly the law irony becomes gospel irony. This Passover that Judas, the disciples, and we made ready, this Passover that we killed in more senses than one, this death now gives us life. The life of God himself. A life that even our future bodily death can only succeed in improving and intensifying and prolonging. God takes our crime and turns it into a blessing. How about that? It is what novelist Tolkien calls eucatastrophe. Eucatastrophe at its best. A catastrophe with a happy ending. Our text captures this gospel irony in the statement, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him." Do what we will, scheme as we may, share as we might the shenanigans of the likes of Judas and Caiaphas and Pilate, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. We have here more than a plot of men. We have the plan of God, a plan that overrules our evil, a plan that even uses our evil to accomplish his saving purpose. Under God, humanity's worst crime becomes its greatest blessing. Our Lord Jesus and his Father had that goal in mind from the very start, when God's Son became our flesh and entered our history at Bethlehem, allowing for the kind of unthinkable intimacy between God and people that our volumes on doctrine call the incarnation, and which our text so concretely describes as dipping our hand with Jesus in the same dish. The Son of Man goeth indeed, and nothing stoppeth him. As Jesus says earlier in our text, "My time is at hand." That's more than a way of saying my time's up. That's more than the announcement of a point in time, the time of an execution. That's the announcement of a kind of time, a quality of time, an everlasting era, God's salvation time. Holy Week, friends, invites us once more into God's time. God grant it. So be it. Yea, yea, it shall be so. Amen.